Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining the webinar today. We're going to dive into today's webinar. We have a lot of materials to cover, and I want to spend some time with questions and answers. I want to first, though, introduce myself and my colleague. My name is Peter Rauchy. I work in outreach and recruitment for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, and I'm joined by my colleague Mary Rolfe Deller, who also works in outreach and recruitment for the Scholar Program. Today, we're going to focus on hidden gems in Europe and Eurasia. So really, awards in Europe that you may not have considered, but for the right person could be a wonderful opportunity to engage with the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program and provide an opportunity for you to do great teaching and research projects throughout different opportunities in the region. With that, I want to move to the next slide to give a quick overview of the Fulbright Program. The Fulbright Program was established in 1946 by then Junior Senator J. William Fulbright to really expand and strengthen the relationship between the people of the U.S. and citizens of the rest of the world. And that is so paramount to, you know, understanding what makes a strong Fulbright application. Understanding that as a Fulbrighter, you are an ambassador. You're representing the United States abroad and really building that mutual connection. That's what makes a strong application. We want to support teaching and research projects across a wide variety of academic disciplines, across a wide variety of different countries, but really understanding that the foundation is that ambassadorial person-to-person diplomacy aspect and the outcomes that can come from that really, really makes a strong Fulbright application. The Fulbright Program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs Division. It's administered by the Institute of International Education, the Council of for International Exchange of Scholars in the U.S. So on this next slide, we'll get somewhat of a scope of the Fulbright Program, Fulbright in numbers. So there have been 380,000-plus Fulbright grants awarded since the inception of the program in 1946. Generally, we'll send about 800 U.S. scholars abroad annually, and with about 160 different participating countries throughout the umbrella of Fulbright programs. As a Fulbrighter, you are in great company. Our alumni include heads of state, Nobel laureates, Pulitzer Prize recipients, MacArthur Fellows, and recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. On this next slide, we'll talk about some baseline eligibility, keeping in mind that of our 470 different awards available, each award has different sort of parameters of the profile of applicant that they're looking for. But in general, for the U.S. Scholar Program, the baseline eligibility criteria include the following. So number one, you do have to be a U.S. citizen. If you're not a U.S. citizen, we have the Visiting Scholar Program, which brings international scholars to the United States. But for the U.S. Scholar Program, you do have to be a U.S. citizen. Then, depending on the parameters of the award, there may be some degree requirements. So many of our awards require PhDs, doctoral degrees, or other terminal degrees. However, other awards in the core program may be open to folks with master's degrees and professional experience or academic experience. So really, there is a wide variety of different requirements. And we'll actually demonstrate in our catalog of award where you can find this information. Many of our awards are appropriate for professionals and artists outside of academia, really recognized folks that have recognized professional standing and have made substantial accomplishments in their field. If an award features teaching, there may be some specifics around teaching experience and the number of years required in a particular award, depending on, you know, the country or the award. So again, we'll show you where you can find this information in our catalog of awards, but realize that there's a wide variety of sort of baseline eligibility, and then each award will have additional considerations around eligibility. One thing I do want to point out is that there are new policies on previous Fulbright grants, so there is no longer a limit to the number of Fulbright grants you can receive in your lifetime, but you do have to wait 2 years between the end of one Fulbright U.S. Scholar grant and applying for another Fulbright U.S. Scholar grant. So one of the key approaches to considering the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is selecting the right award. And you, in the initial phase, you want to start a broad search, but then sort of narrow it down and zero it in. And if, on this next slide coming up, we'll sort of have these considerations available. So you really want to look at or think about, you know, where do you want to go in the world, and what do you want to do, and what discipline does it connect to? Aggregately across the catalog of awards, we represent all academic disciplines, but not every country and not every award will feature all academic disciplines. So it's really, really good idea to start a very broad-based search at first and then zero in. Some of our awards are very, very specialized, where they'll be at particular institutions and want specific academic disciplines. Other awards are what we refer to as all disciplines awards, which tend to be more open-ended in terms of the potential host institutions in the country and or the preferred disciplines for that specific award. So we have a general search criteria on our front web page, where you can search by region, by country, and by discipline. But advanced search functions, so if you click Find Awards or click Search, Advanced Search, you pull open the whole catalog of over 470 different awards, and there are many, many more filters available, so you can narrow down things based on multiple criteria of interest. You can look at how long a grant is, does it require a PhD, does it require a letter of invitation, etc. So there are many, many criteria, and again, we're going to demonstrate the catalog of awards and how you can find this information. But you really want to, in selecting the right award, understand how your profile connects to the award, but also how what are the parameters of the award. Does the project that you hope to undertake, does it connect, does it fit into the parameters of that award? Is it congruent with what the award covers? So that's really something that you really want to pay attention to, and that's key in selecting the right award for you. So what I want to do now is go into the Europe-Eurasia region and unpack some of the hidden gems, awards that you may not have considered, but that for the right project and for the right profile could be a wonderful opportunity to engage with the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. So Europe-Eurasia is the largest region within the Fulbright Scholar Program. It's over 160 different award offerings, ranging from Iceland to Azerbaijan. We're about a decade plus into the Bologna process, which continues to shape higher education across Europe, and now is really an exciting time to collaborate with colleagues at institutions throughout Europe and Eurasia, institutions of higher education, NGOs, or depending on the award, different kinds of institutions. Applicants can propose to teach, conduct research, or a combination of teaching and research, and really work with institutions throughout Europe. And as we'll see, there are some awards that are open-ended in terms of the potential host institutions, but many of our awards are hosted at specific institutions. Europe and Eurasia offers a diverse range of opportunities. There are multi-country opportunities in the European Union, discipline-specific awards such as migration studies in Marseille in France, STEM opportunities in Ukraine, early career and flex option awards throughout some of the different countries and awards throughout the catalog for Europe and Eurasia. A Fulbright grant in Europe and Eurasia will enable you to contribute to the rapidly changing landscape of higher education and really gain a deeper understanding of society and culture in the context of the region. So let's look at some of the hidden gem awards that we want to focus on. So let's start with Belgium and France. So there are three awards we want to highlight to Belgium. Belgium, of course, being the headquarters of the European Union and NATO and home to a host of European institutions. Belgium, of course, Dutch, French, German are very commonly spoken throughout Belgium and really sort of the center of Europe. So let's look at some of the awards available in Belgium. So the first one I want to highlight is an All Disciplines Award. The All Disciplines Award to Belgium is an award that features a grant that is anywhere from 3 to 9 months, and you do have to have a letter of invitation from a Belgian institution. This award is open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia with a PhD and several years of experience. Host institutions for this award can include universities, but also government institutions, think tanks, and nonprofit NGO organizations. The next award I want to focus on in Belgium is the NATO Security Studies Award. And we can see the difference just comparing these two awards. The All Disciplines Award is sort of very open-ended, and the NATO Security Studies Award is more focused. So this NATO Security Studies Award, this is a unique award. It allows U.S. candidates to really delve deeper into NATO security interests while experiencing the subject matter firsthand. Locations for this award include the College of Europe in Bruges, the Brussels office of the German Marshall Fund, or at a university or think tank. This is a five-month award, and for this award, you can propose a project that features just research or a combination of teaching and research. The next award I want to focus on in Belgium is the Hasselt University. It's an all-disciplines award at Hasselt University, which is about 50 miles from Brussels near the Dutch-German border. In this award, you would teach or conduct research for 3 months at Hasselt University. The university offers courses taught in English in the fields of architecture, business, biomedical sciences, and transportation sciences. So let's move on to France. I want to highlight the Nouvelle Aquitaine Regional Award. France has a number of regional awards, but let's look at the Nouvelle Aquitaine Award. This is an opportunity with a grant that can be anywhere from 3 to 9 months. You're able to, on this grant, conduct research in any academic discipline in the Nouvelle Aquitaine region. This is a really exciting place to be for research. The region is world-renowned, of course, for its wine. Bordeaux is in the region, of course, but it's also acclaimed for the quality and quantity of its institutions of higher education and research. The region is home to 6 universities and 23 grandes écoles, including 15 engineering schools. A letter of invitation is required, but this is open to this award is open to folks who are senior scholars, but also mid-level career. It is not open to folks who are early career. I do want to mention that we have an archived webinar for France, so that outlines and unpacks the opportunities to France much more thoroughly than this webinar. This webinar is sort of a regional-focused webinar, but we do have that archived webinar specific to France that unpacks the different availabilities and awards in France. So I want to move on now to Austria-Hungary. So Austria has an award, the Fulbright Navi Graz Visiting Professor in the Natural Sciences. This award allows scholars to conduct 4 months of a combination of flexible teaching research in natural sciences in the city of Graz in Austria. A letter of invitation for this award is optional, and this award is open to all levels of scholars, including early career scholars. Similar to France, we have an archived webinar that focuses on the award opportunities in Austria. You can find that on our webinar archive. Also, we will archive this webinar shortly after the air date, and all of these, there are hyperlinks in the PowerPoint that you're able to find, specific award information, but you can also obviously use our catalog and use our website to find this specific information. Let's move on to Hungary. Hungary has the Fulbright University of Pannonia Scholar Grant. So this award, it features a 4 to 9 month grant. It's really an opportunity to conduct teaching or a combination of teaching and research in the really picturesque cities of the lands of the former Roman province, Pannonia. There are some preferred disciplines for this grant, and they include American history, American literature, American studies, business administration, economics, engineering, and information sciences. A letter of invitation is strongly preferred, although it's not technically necessary, but it is strongly preferred, and this is open to academics in all levels of their career, including early career applicants. So let's move on to Italy, Portugal, and Spain, and look at some of the highlight awards that we have in these three countries. So Italy has a number of awards, but I want to focus on two awards. We have the Fulbright Lectureship in Law and Economics at the University of Bologna. This award is a teaching research award, and it's open to scholars in the fields of law or economics who specialize in credit and financial services law, insolvency, financial inclusion, and privacy and data protection. If you're not familiar with GDPR, there are new regulations around data in Europe and how companies use data. So this is definitely a hot topic, a focus area in Europe, GDPR. So data protection, anyone that has a background, legal or economic background in that, you know, this might be a really interesting award for you. This grant is a 3 to 6 month grant, and it must begin in February of 2020. For this specific opportunity, a letter of invitation should not be sought out. The other award to Italy I wanted to focus on is a lectureship in biotechnologies at the University of Udine. This is a wonderful opportunity to teach for 3 to 5 months at the University of Udine, located in the northeast of Italy, near the Slovenian border. Scholars who specialize in biology, biotechnology, and molecular medicine are encouraged to apply. Also, for this award, similar to the Bologna Award, this award, you should not seek a letter of invitation for this award. Moving on to Portugal, I want to focus on the Fulbright Award in Data Science at the Universidade do Minho. This is an opportunity to conduct 3 months of a combination of teaching and research for all levels of scholars except for early career. The focus area for this is computer science, and specializations include things like machine learning, artificial intelligence, data science, differential privacy, privacy preserving, and machine learning at the University of Minho in Braga, Portugal. A letter of invitation, while not required for this award, is strongly preferred for this award. Let's look at the award, the Tourism Award in Spain. This award is hosted at the Universidad de Las Palmas de Gran Canaria. This is a wonderful opportunity at this institution in the Canary Islands to conduct a combination of teaching and research in tourism. This is a 4 month grant from February to May at the Universidad de Las Palmas de Gran Canaria. And for this award, a letter of invitation is optional. This award is open to scholars of all levels except for early career. So let's move on to opportunities in Scandinavia, the sort of northern European countries. Let's start with Finland and Denmark. Finland has a wide variety of wonderful, very specialized awards, and I wanted to focus on three of the awards available in Finland. So in Finland, we have the VTT grant in Science, Technology, and Innovation. This is hosted at the VTT Technical Research Center in Finland. This is a research-only grant, and the award can be anywhere from 4 to 6 months. There are preferred disciplines for this award that include biological sciences, chemistry, communications, computer science, engineering, environmental sciences, and information sciences. For this award, a letter of invitation is not required, but it is strongly preferred. In the award description, though, we actually have an established contact at VTT that you're able to be in direct contact with to discuss what your interests are and how you might fit into the grant. The next award in Finland I want to discuss is the Aalto University Distinguished Chair. This is hosted at Aalto University in Finland, and this is 3 to 9 months. This award features specializations in ICT and digitalization, materials and sustainable use of natural resources, global business dynamics, art and design, knowledge building. So these are some of the focus areas for this award at Aalto University. For this award, a letter of invitation is required, but we have an established contact at Aalto University. The last award in Finland I want to focus on is the Sastamoinen Foundation Award in Health and Environmental Sciences. This award is 5 to 9 months, and it's at the University of Eastern Finland. This is a teaching and research award. For this award, the letter of invitation is preferred, but we have established contacts at the University of East Finland. Preferred disciplines for this award feature biological sciences, environmental sciences, medical sciences, and public and global health. Specializations for this award include things like aerosols, the environment and human health, cardiovascular and metabolic diseases, neurosciences, musculoskeletal disorder, forests, bioeconomy, sustainable governance of natural resources. Moving on to Denmark, I want to focus on two awards. We have the ICT Information and Communications Technology Award in Denmark. This is a teaching research award at Aalborg University and focuses on data management, computer science, information science, and telecommunications. So this is a wonderful opportunity for someone of that background to affiliate with Aalborg University in a project featuring one of these academic disciplines, and it's an opportunity to teach and conduct research. We also have the Danish Distinguished Chair in American Studies. So this is hosted at the Center for American Studies at the University of Southern Denmark. An invitation letter is required for this award, but we have an established contact. And this award is looking at projects that are in the disciplines of American history, American literature, or American studies. This can be a 1 or 2 semester grant available. Moving on to Iceland and Sweden, continuing the theme of Scandinavia, Nordic countries, Northern Europe, I want to unpack some of the awards we have available here. So in Iceland, we have a 4-month Polar Law Award at the University of Akureyri. This award is a combination teaching research award. Scholars will teach master's level courses, but it's possible also to teach some undergraduate courses as well. The teaching will take place in a seminar format, and the professor would lead with introductions to the materials and sort of stimulate discussion. Class sizes are generally between 10 to 30 students, and focus areas include things like international law with an emphasis on polar law, specifically in the Arctic and Antarctic. Especially welcome are things that projects that feature the subdisciplines of maritime law, international environmental law, the law of indigenous peoples, human rights law, international human rights law, national resource governance, and sort of things that fall into similar subdisciplines. So these are some sought-out disciplines specific to the Polar Law Award at the University of Akureyri. This award prefers a letter of invitation, but we do have established university contacts at Akureyri that you can reach out to directly. The next award I want to focus on in Iceland is the National Science Foundation Scholar Award in Cybersecurity and Critical Infrastructure. This is a 1-semester award, although it may be possible to propose an academic year for this award. This is a teaching research award, and it's really focused on topics that include cybersecurity and critical infrastructure. So specializations can include communications, computer science, economics, education, engineering, law, political science, public administration, things that intersect with the sense of cybersecurity and infrastructure. And you're able to affiliate with any Icelandic university with this award, so that's sort of open-ended there are potential hosts throughout the country. Moving on to Sweden, Sweden has a number of very specialized awards, and the great news for this is that letters of invitation are not required for these awards. Specifically these awards that I am referring to, let's unpack them though. So let's look first at the Distinguished Chair in Alternative Energy Technology. This is a 4 to 9 month grant with a preference for 9 month projects. A letter of invitation for this award should not be sought. You would be hosted at Chalmers University in Gothenburg in Sweden, specifically in the Department of Energy and Environment. There may be possible affiliations, though, with other departments as appropriate. Preferred specializations can include things like vehicle technology and transformation, power generation, grid integration of wind power, other intermittent energy sources. It really, really focused on alternative energy. So any kind of focus area that intersects with alternative energy is something that could be a good fit for this award. Academic disciplines including chemistry, computer science, engineering, environmental sciences, physics, anything that intersects with alternative energy. The next award I want to focus on is the Uppsala University Chair in American Studies. this award can feature a grant that you can propose something that's either one or two semesters, 4 to 5 or 9 months. This award is featured at the Swedish Institute for North American Studies in the Department of English at Uppsala University. A letter of invitation for this award should not be sought. And for this award, projects in the disciplines of American history, American literature, American studies, economics, film studies, political science, sociology, those are some of the sought out disciplines for projects for this award. The last award in Sweden I want to focus on is the Lund University Chair in Public International Law. So this award features a 4 to 9 month grant with a preference for 9 month proposals. A letter of invitation, again, should not be sought for this award. And for this award, your project can involve either just teaching or a combination of teaching and research. Potential host institutions for this award are either the Raoul Wallenberg Institute of Human Rights and Humanitarian Law, and or Lund University. So moving on, I want to focus on the last few awards that we'll specifically unpack in this webinar, and then after that, I'll hand over the presentation to my colleague, Mary Rolfe, for a catalog demonstration and some additional information about applying to the Fulbright program before we take your questions. So I want to look at awards to Belarus, Kosovo, and Ukraine. So Belarus, the first award I want to focus on is the All Disciplines Award. For this award, a letter of invitation is optional. This award also features, it's possible to have a flex option if you want to segment your grant into multiple short visits. This is an All Disciplines Award that welcomes projects from any specialization, but the Embassy in Minsk is really interested very particularly in projects that include things like American literature and American studies, communications, computer science, engineering, environmental sciences, information sciences, law, linguistics, and teaching English as a foreign language. The next award I want to focus on in Belarus is the Economics and Business Administration Award. If you specialize in economics or business admin and you're not really sure how to approach a letter of invitation or getting a letter of invitation from an institution overseas, this may be a great fit for you as an academic or professional outside of academia, as a letter of invitation is actually optional for this award. The U.S. Embassy in Minsk for this award is very interested in proposals that include topics like marketing, finance, investments, multinational corporations, management, and organizational behavior. Under this grant, grantees will teach business administration courses to undergraduate students and or MBA program courses to professionals and also consult on curriculum and faculty development. Moving on to Kosovo, I want to unpack a little bit the Ministry of Education Award focused on science and technology, technology policy. So this award features, it's looking for projects that feature research only. And it allows a scholar to research and access internal processes and procedures in the Ministry of Education, Science and Technology in the Department of Science and Technology in Kosovo. The grantee will recommend changes, assist in establishing cooperation, and analyze drafted legislation. The Fulbright scholar will encourage technology development, including improving the financial and institutional infrastructure to support these developments. This is a great opportunity in Kosovo that sort of gets at the intersection of science and technology from a policy lens. So let's look at our last featured country with these last two awards before we have a catalog demonstration to help you find out information similar to what I'm discussing for these awards. So Ukraine. The first award I want to focus on is the Cultural Resource Management Award. This is an excellent opportunity open to applicants with a minimum of a master's degree and 3 years of professional experience. A letter of invitation is optional for this award, and applicants are able to affiliate with a wide variety of universities, state agencies, museums, NGOs, the National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine, and cultural organizations. The last award I want to focus on is the Ukraine Award in Environmental Sciences. The Environmental Sciences Award to Ukraine provides both academics and professionals opportunities to teach and or conduct research in the field of agriculture, biological sciences, and environmental sciences. those who receive this award will be given a flex option, which allows the grant to be separated into multiple visits. So we've taken you on a tour of some hidden gems throughout Europe, Eurasia, awards that you may not have considered, but again, for the right type of project and for a congruent profile, these could be wonderful opportunities for you to engage with the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. What I want to do now is turn over the presentation to my colleague, Mary Rolf, who will demonstrate our catalog of awards and show you how to find information similar to what I've been discussing for awards, show you how to search for different kinds of awards, and really find the parameters of the awards to help you understand how to make a connection with awards. So with that, I hand it over to you, Mary Rolf.
Hi, guys. How's it going? So we're going to go through the catalog of awards and talk more in depth about the application components and what makes a good application in just a minute. But before that, I want to pause and answer some of your questions because you guys have some really great questions that you've been writing in during the presentation. So the first question is, what if you don't know what project you want to undertake? Like, you just want to go on a Fulbright. Well, that's why we're here today to talk. That's why we've been hosting webinars all summer. So these can give you ideas, right? So get you familiar with the regions, get you familiar with what awards are out there. And then what you can do is read more in depth in these award descriptions that we're going to go through later and find out what actually fits for you. Because if you're an engineer, chances are you're not going to be going on a fine arts award. So that's an easy way for you to be able to filter through the catalog and see what opportunities are available to you. Another question we have is, can I apply for more than one award per application cycle? The answer is no. You can only apply to one award within the entire catalog of awards per application cycle. So another person was asking about letters of invitation and contacts at universities and these contacts that we put in the award description. I'm going to show all of you guys that in just a bit, so hang tight for a minute. All right. So what I want to do first is tell you guys a little bit about Fulbright that works for you. So there's a lot of different opportunities within Fulbright as far as ways to customize your awards or awards that are available for particular professional profiles or the time in your career. So the first is the flex option. So the flex option is a way in which you can alter the grant length of an award. Flex is not a separate award. It's a type of way to change the grant length within an award. Flex isn't offered for all of the awards, so you'll have to look in each award description to find out whether or not the award that you're interested in is eligible. And I'll show you where that is in a bit. Another thing is our awards are available for anybody from postdocs to emeriti faculty. So look in the awards descriptions to see if it's open to early career, if it's for mid-career professionals, is it a distinguished chair where you should really have some lengthy experience with a lot of publications to back up. Another award that's available is the Global Scholar Award. Be advised that this is the most competitive award in the catalog of awards. It's a multi-country opportunity, but that's not why we're here today. We're here more so to talk to you just about opportunities in Europe. The last thing is you do not have to be affiliated with a university in the United States to go on a Fulbright. You can be a professional. You can be retired, like I said. There's something out there for everybody. Just search in the award description to make sure you're eligible. So application components. I think this is really a good time for us to kind of pause and go into the website and show you guys where all of this information is. And hopefully you guys will bookmark some of this so you can reference it later. So I've gone on and pulled up the website right here, which is CIES.org. And this is going to be your home base for everything Fulbright Scholar related. You've got the application deadline right here in case you guys ever need a reminder. And so what we're going to do is go into the Fulbright Scholar Core Program. So what you'll do is go to Program, U.S. Scholars, and then click on Core. And right here, this is your home base for everything teaching and research grant related. So you'll find the eligibility criteria. So this is telling you, you know, you have to be a U.S. citizen, how many years abroad, all of that fun stuff. If you've had a Fulbright in the past, have that two-year waiting period. If you scroll back up, you'll find the application tab. The application guidelines is rich with resources. You'll find everything from application instructions to the actual link for the application, to project statement guidance, which can be as specific as the page numbers as well as the content you should cover. Make sure to know that if you're applying for a teaching award, they may have different information for you to cover than a research award. But if you're applying for a teaching and research award, you should be including all of the above in your project statement. If you go back, you'll find even more information about bibliography, so those are research only, course syllabi, that's for teaching only awards, reference letters, so be advised you have to have 3 letters of reference for your application, and there's more information about who you need to have write your letters of reference and what they should be covering as well. And then the one thing I want to go over, since we have a couple questions about that, is the letter of invitation. So this is a really great web page with a quick little tutorial about how to get started on developing contacts abroad. A lot of the awards that we've covered today, because it is closer to the deadline, either have an optional letter of invitation or a letter of invitation that should not be sought. And that's because letters of invitation can sometimes take time. You're emailing somebody overseas, so you've not only just got time difference, but also it's the summer, some faculty might not be around. And so be cognizant of that when you are applying. All right. And so the next thing I want to do is show you guys the catalog of awards. And so we're actually going to go back to this main page for the core program. And if you scroll down here, you'll see a link to the catalog of awards. We've got links all over the website for the catalog of awards, including on the main page, which I'll show you right before we zoom back out of this. So you'll be able to find it pretty easily. This initial page, you can just select by region, country, or discipline. However, if you just hit search all awards, you'll pull up every single opportunity available, and you'll pull up a more detailed search feature. So this will get you as specific as the type of activity you'd like to do. Are you doing research only, or teaching and research? How long do you want to go overseas? Do you want to go on a 3-month grant, a 2-month grant, or are you looking for a year-long grant? Other places that are really important to look at are degree requirements. So terminal degrees are required for a majority of the awards. However, not all of the awards require a terminal degree. For our purposes, MFAs are terminal degrees, and so keep that in mind as well. Category, again, so category, you can search this depending on what place in your career are you. Are you early career? Are you looking for Distinguished Chair Awards? Those are a great way to filter out all of the over 400 award opportunities. Professional profile, so this is, are you an academic? Are you affiliated with a host university in the U.S.? Or are you a business professional or something like that? And you can search for opportunities that are open to you. Lastly is the letter of invitation, which is one of the most important features right now, like I was saying. Because letters of invitation can sometimes take time, you want to maybe start looking for something down here on this end of the category. So ones that are maybe preferred, optional, or should not be sought. Letters of invitation, if they are anywhere from optional and up, are a great way to supplement your application. It's you know, one more feature vouching for the reason why you deserve to have the Fulbright Award that you're applying to. However, if it says strongly preferred, preferred, optional, or should not be sought, then that means your application is technically eligible without a letter of invitation. So somebody had written in when they registered, does one country, it says that it's optional for a letter of invitation. What happens if I don't receive a letter of invitation? That's okay. You can still submit an application. Your application will still be read by the peer review committee and judged. So the next thing I want to do is go into one of these awards. And so I want to actually go into a country where it has contact information listed, like my colleague Peter was talking about earlier. And so I'm going to pick Latvia because it's one of my countries, but also kind of an extreme example of how much contact information can be in an award description. And so we're going to look at this economics and business opportunity. And so if you open up this award, you're going to get all this great information, a link directly to the application, a link back to that application guidelines page, and then also all the specific information about this specific award. So you've got that a PhD or other terminal degree is not required for this award, and it is not open to early career candidates. You've got contact information for the program staff, which is me. If you ever have questions, to reach out to us before you apply. You've got the possible places that you can affiliate. And then you've got this flex option, so that way to extend the grant link, like I was talking about earlier, it'll either say yes or no. And then it'll also, if it is yes, give you a description about what the parameters are for that award. If you keep scrolling down, and so like I was saying, this is an extreme example about how much contact information can be in an award description. So they actually have broken it down in this award by university for who you should contact, and they also even have what disciplines at what universities are preferred or required. So this is showing you people at a specific university that you can reach out to about receiving a letter of invitation. And then also other places to look for contact information would be in the award requirements tab. The award requirements tab also has information about a letter of invitation. So this one is required. And it may have contact information down here. It may also have contact information in the country area overview. So the country area overview will typically have contact information for either the Fulbright Commission or the U.S. Embassy overseas if they do provide contact information. It'll typically be somewhere within here. So you'll find at the bottom of this page is Latvia's contact information. And so they're also a good place to get started if there's no university contact listed. Reach out to the U.S. Embassy and ask, since you're on the ground, since you're in country, what universities do you think would be open to my profile? Send them a copy of your CV and your proposed project, and they might be able to assist you. Lastly, as far as just going over the award descriptions, you've got the award benefits tab, which are estimates of your grant stipend. And so it'll tell you about what your monthly stipend is, relocation and travel allowances, book allowances, and also information about dependent tuition or while it having dependents abroad, what kind of stipend you'd be able to get. So that's kind of a crash course on the awards catalog. And we'll jump right back into this presentation and kind of briefly go over everything again. All these PowerPoint slides are going to be online, just so you know. We archived all of the presentations, so the PowerPoint and the recording will be available online, and we'll email all of you with a copy of it once it's available. So, application components. You've got the application form. You've got your project statement, your CV, a syllabus if you're applying for any award that includes teaching, bibliography if you're applying for any award that includes research, 3 letters of reference, and then additional application components depending on your award. Language proficiency, if it's something that's required for the award. A letter of invitation, so we've gone over that pretty extensively. And then if you're in the arts or in some sort of writing field, you may need to submit a writing sample or an art sample or a music sample. So project statements. We've got a lot more information as far as application walkthroughs that talk about the application components more in depth. But overall, just in general, you want your project statement to be specific and detailed, but not too technical. So you don't want to get too bogged down in all these processes and equations. You still want to make it approachable to people outside of your field. You also want to make sure to really drive home the impact that you're going to have on the host country and then also on your home country once you return, your home institution. You want to talk about what you're going to do. Just remember, don't get too technical, but also don't be too general. Strike that nice balance in between. And then lastly, you also want to go over how adaptable you're going to be. You're going somewhere that's not the U.S. We want to make sure that you're going to be able to handle the changes that may occur or, you know, language barriers and things like that. We want to make sure that you're going to be able to kind of just basically brush the dirt off your shoulders if you come up with any challenges during your grant. So affiliations and invitations, we've talked about this already, but one thing also to note about a letter of invitation is it's a non-binding expression of interest. It's possible that a university will give out multiple letters of invitation to multiple applicants, so they're non-binding. It should also come from the person who you're going to be collaborating with most closely. So it's not necessarily going to come from the president of the university. It should be coming from the person that knows who you are, knows your work, and knows how your work is going to be put into practice at that university or at that host. Lastly, it should also be on university letterhead. So, also just a specific note about Europe and Eurasia and letters of invitation is that some countries will ask that language requirements be addressed. Some countries may also require a letter of invitation. Some countries will also just specifically place you in awards, and so that way they don't actually need a letter of invitation. Any information about the letter of invitation that you need to cover will be in the award description under that letter of invitation section. So just be sure to read the award description in depth before applying. Submitting a competitive application overall. So the goal of Fulbright is promoting mutual understanding. Don't forget that this is a diplomacy program. So you should be gaining knowledge and you should also be sharing knowledge. You need to make sure to talk about why you're interested in Fulbright. Why aren't you going on an NSF grant with this kind of information? Why did you choose Fulbright? And also, why are you picking your specific country? If your work can be done at a library sitting in Arkansas, then why would we send you to Belarus? You've got to make sure to talk about why your home country is an important host. You want to talk about your professional expertise and the skills. So why are you qualified to be doing this? And then lastly, you want to talk about the outcomes, the impact, and the multiplier effect of this grant. So it shouldn't stop once you leave the country. You should still be sharing knowledge, collaborating long past the end of your grant date. Okay. And quickly, just some logistical stuff. So don't forget, the deadline is August 1st. And so what will happen is you've got between now and August 1st to submit that application. Every time, all the time between September and January, your application will be reviewed domestically. And then January through May is when your application will be reviewed abroad, in the country that you're choosing to apply to. grantee notifications come out throughout the entire first half of next year. So anytime February through May, you may be notified. So just be aware that you're going to be kind of sitting for a while waiting for some answers. You will receive a yes or no if your application is moving forward in November through January, and you'll also receive a notification if you've been accepted for an award sometime February through May. So just know that we won't leave you hanging. You will receive a decision. However, you've got a couple months to wait for that. Application resources. So I've gone through a couple of these already on the website, but just know that these are hyperlinked as resources for you once this webinar will be established online. And then finally, ways to stay connected. So you can join my Fulbright, which is a registration tool to register your interest. And so if we ever send out award information about Spain or Europe in general, you'll be able to receive emails from us. You can email us at europeeurasia@iie.org. Myself and Peter Rauchy, along with our colleagues Aphrodita and Michelle, are all in that email address, and we'll help you with any questions that you have. You can visit our website, which is the website I showed you earlier. And then also, if you feel that other colleagues should be applying to Fulbright, if you think that they'd be a good suitable candidate, you can refer them online too using that hyperlink. And so with that, we want to go through and look at the questions that you guys have written in, because like I was saying earlier, you guys have some really great questions, and we want to go over as many of them as possible. So let's scroll back up and see what we got.
We've been trying to answer questions privately as they come in. If folks have very specific questions, we can also try to get back to folks if we don't get to your questions. But also, again, feel free to reach out to us at europeeurasia@iie.org if we don't get to your question or if you think of something after the webinar ends.
Yeah, so we've got a question about which specific university in Azerbaijan would consider my project. So that's a great question for either the U.S. Embassy in Azerbaijan or something that you'll just need to do some of your own research on. To see where departments are maybe arts heavy or something like that. Program staff, we don't connect applicants with universities. However, we can show you resources where you can find certain things. So the scholar directory, which is something that I haven't shown you guys yet, which I'll go through right now, is a great resource in finding past Fulbrighters and where they've affiliated. So if we go back to the main homepage, if you go down here, you'll see the Fulbright Scholar Directory, and this is a directory from all the Fulbright grantees since 2010, and you can search and see where they've affiliated, which is a great start as well.
There are lots of different search criteria that you can use. You can search by discipline, by country. You can search by the home institution in the U.S. So colleagues that may still be affiliated with your home institution in the U.S., they may be resources for you.
Okay. And let's look through some other questions.
From here, with this search, we can see, you know, where the alumni to Azerbaijan have gone. We can see where they came from, the sort of general discipline of their project, and you know, that can help you get some potential inspiration.
Yeah, and so we have somebody ask again, can you apply for more than one grant or award at a time? No, you cannot. You can only apply to one award per application cycle. And so if you're interested in the All Disciplines Award to Azerbaijan, you cannot also apply to the Business Administration and Economics Award in Belarus. Let's see. So we had somebody ask, and this is a great question to share with everybody, is since teaching awards require a syllabus, I assume you have to actually know which classes you will be teaching if you get the award. Actually, you don't necessarily. So the syllabi in your application are really just to demonstrate your teaching philosophy. What's your style of teaching? Are you text heavy? Are you group project heavy? What kind of sources do you normally direct your students to? All of that kind of information. So the syllabi, unless otherwise stated in the award description, do not have to be syllabi of the classes that you're proposing to teach. It can be, but they can also just be syllabi of classes that you've taught in the past.
So we have a great question about, I have a PhD in a different field, or I'm getting a PhD in a different field than the project that I want, that I hope to propose. Is this all right? So one of the things that we look at is feasibility, and do you have the capabilities, the skills, the experience, the background to accomplish the project that you propose? So, you know, think about how your background connects to the project that you're proposing, and make you know, make that evident in your proposal, how you envision someone with your background is able to accomplish this proposal. Unless an award specifies that they want folks from a specific discipline or a, have a specific background, you know, the awards are somewhat open-ended about that. And again, there are nuances, so absolutely contact us if you have questions about that, or if you're not sure how you fit into something. But again, it's fine to have a background that's different from the proposal that you're proposing, but you do have to address feasibility in all cases. We have to understand that, you know, this is something that you can actually accomplish.
Yeah, so we had a great question earlier on that said, for the secondary choice of award on the application, how do you handle a requirement for a letter of invitation? So once you're applying in the application, there is a little section that says, what are alternate countries that you're interested in? This is not something where if you do not receive an award in the country that you're applying to, that you're automatically considered in the other countries. So make sure that you're only writing your application for the main award that you're applying to. Don't make your application general to be able to apply in multiple countries. So if you, if the award, maybe the country that you're looking to write down as an alternate does require a letter of invitation, you do not need to get a letter of invitation. The application that you should be putting forward is only for the main award that you're applying to. So somebody else also asked, when would Fulbright grants that would be awarded in February and May of 2020 be on the website, or are opportunities always constant from year to year? So right now we are recruiting for the 2019-2020 academic year. And so if you'd like to go abroad in the fall of 2019 or the spring of 2020, you should be applying for any of the awards listed in the catalog of awards by August 1st this year.
Now, awards do tweak year to year. So you know, what's in the catalog right now may not be representative of what's of every single aspect of everything that's available in years to come. So it's best to, you know, if you're not applying for this year, you know, this is great general information, but you definitely want to look at the specific award of interest and, you know, make sure that you're fulfilling the requirements and the parameters of that specific award, keeping in mind that awards may change year to year. There may be some different focus areas or potential host institutions. So you do want to pay attention to the specific parameters of the actual award to which you're applying in the year that you're applying. So we had a question about, I recently changed universities and don't have a direct supervisor to write a lesson, letter of reference. Can I ask my former boss? That should be fine.
And then, so we've got a question also from somebody that says, can program staff read proposals and give feedback, or should we look elsewhere for that kind of assistance? So it's possible that program staff may be able to read your proposal. However, we're only going to be looking at whether or not you cover the application guidelines. We're not going to be making comments on whether or not your proposal is legitimate within your field, or, you know, whether we're not going to be making comments on, you know, your proofreading it, anything like that. As the application deadline does get closer, though, the program staff availability does lessen, so please do keep that in mind. However, we do absolutely recommend that you have multiple people read your application. Have people in your field and outside of your field read your application. Give them the application guidelines. Let them look over what the project statement guidelines are and make sure that you're covering all that information, and also make sure that your project is approachable to people outside of your discipline.
By having colleagues both in your field and outside of your field review your proposal, this actually, to some extent, replicates our peer review process, and it can actually be a really good way to, you know, get some good feedback. Keeping in mind that the proposal is, you know, up to 5 pages, 3 to 5 pages, so you have a lot to do in a very short amount of time, and you're writing essentially to different audiences. So, again, getting feedback from colleagues within your field and outside of your field can be invaluable.
So somebody was asking, what is the deadline for reference letters? So all of your application components should be submitted by August 1st. That being said, we understand that sometimes letters of invitation may be coming later, so we do ask that you email us and let us know if you're expecting it to come a little bit after the deadline. But reference letter writers should also be submitting their references by August 1st. So somebody asked the question, can I apply as an independent scholar rather than affiliated with an institution? So you should be affiliating with somebody, whether that's an institution or a research facility or an NGO or something. There should be some sort of host, because we want you to be integrating into the community, and the easiest way to be doing that is by having some sort of host. Like I was saying earlier, we don't want you just going overseas and spending all of your time stuck in a lab or stuck in a library and not interacting with any other people, because that's something you could be doing here. And that's not the purpose of this cultural diplomacy program.
We have a question about the All Disciplines Award to Albania. So this award, how many grants are available? For this award, there is one grant available. And it's important to understand the difference between award and grant. Awards are opportunities, and grants are instances of the opportunity. And here we have, we're going to pull up the All Disciplines Award to Albania 9117AL. And if we click that open, we see that there is one grant available, meaning that one person can be funded under this grant. We have awards that have one grant, two grants, five grants, all the way up to India has 45 grants under their All Disciplines Award. Brazil has 30 grants under their All Disciplines Award. So you do want to pay attention to the number of grants available under each award. We're sort of running out of time, but I want to take a few quick questions and encourage folks to get back in touch with us if you didn't cover your question or you think of something else. What are recommended grants in the fields of education, higher education, or literacy focus? So you're able to search for awards, again, by discipline. You can also search by keyword. So if you want to type in literacy into the keyword search, you use that with a grain of salt. That's going to pull up anything that has literacy in the award description, but that's a good way to get a baseline search. So we have 8 awards that come up. So we have media literacy and cybersecurity, All Disciplines Award in Lithuania. We have an award in China. We have a research chair award in Canada. So you'll want to start with some broad keyword searches and then sort of narrow down once you pull up the awards. You may need to be a little bit creative about that, but you know, that's a good way to sort of start a broad-based search and then narrow down to find information about particular opportunities. Keeping in mind, though, again, you know, you're going to pull up anything that has that term in the award description if you do a keyword search. You can also search for, you know, all awards featuring education or awards featuring education that are, you know, have a flex grant. You know, there are many, many parameters that you can throw onto an award. And as you can see, there are 99 awards in our catalog that either directly feature or can support projects that are in the fields of education.
So somebody was asking about what would you recommend my discipline be? If you have anything that's kind of hyper-specific like that, go on and shoot us an email. Send us a copy of your CV as well, and we can help you figure out maybe where you might belong within these kind of general disciplines. Okay. So if I get an award, can I start in August? So if you are applying to any award that you apply to, we'll have the grant start dates listed in the award description. So if we go down, we'll go to Algeria. If you go, you'll see grant dates. And so for this one, grants can begin in early October 2019. This is where you'll find that kind of information. So somebody had asked, can I apply if I'm not affiliated with a U.S. college or university? Yes, you do not have to be affiliated with a university to apply for a Fulbright grant. However, you should be looking in the award description to make sure that the award is open to professionals and not just academics.
Someone asked about grace periods for letters of reference, and I think we covered that, but I want to underscore this, that everything should be in by August 1st. It may be possible to have things submitted after the deadline, very shortly after the deadline. There may be some possible grace period, but your goal should be to get everything in by August 1st. We have a very extensive technical screening where we, our team works on applications to make sure that they're technically eligible, and sometimes we're able to reach out to candidates for further clarifications as needed or for additional documentation as needed, but that's not always the case. So you want to make sure that you prioritize getting everything in, including you know, working with your referees so that they get their letters of reference in by the deadline. While there may be the possibility of a grace period, there's no guarantee of that.
So somebody is asking, does the award cover transportation and housing? Any award benefits that are available will you'll be able to find under the award benefits tab in each award description. And so look in that for further information.
I'll take one last question, and I want to thank everyone for joining us and really exploring some of the hidden gems of Europe. We will archive this webinar and send information out to everyone who registered, which will include the PowerPoint slides as well as the recording. But before we close, I want to take one award. For a teaching award, can the award be split between two host institutions during 10 months, or is that not advisable? A lot of that, again, will depend on the context of the award. That may be possible. That may not be. You'll definitely want to reach out to the staff member who's associated with that award with questions of that nature to talk through some of the nuances. So that a lot of that will depend on the specific award. So with that, I do want to thank everyone again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed looking at some of the hidden gems of Europe, Eurasia, and we hope this has inspired you to consider applying. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any further questions, but again, we should have this webinar archived shortly. And again, you know, absolutely, yes, the deadline is August 1st, but please feel free to be in touch with us if you have any questions. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.